The 2024 NFL Draft heads to Detroit, and it's time to see who gets the job.
Caleb is a unique and special talent throwing the football.
And what sets them apart.
The Heisman Trophy winner is Jaden Daniels.
All of the greats were hired here.
What a throw by Mahomes.
See who gets the job.
Are you ready?
The 2024 NFL Draft begins Thursday, April 25th on ESPN, ABC, and NFL Network.
Everything what's happened in the last maybe few weeks before I left the Bayern Munich, that was of course a lot of politics, and the club tried to find the argument why they can sell me to the another club, because before it was difficult to explain maybe the fans, and I had to accept this, even that was a lot of things about me, not true, but you know, in the end, I know that the fans, because during this period, the fans still support me a lot.
Boom. Hey, what a way to start the show. Robert Lewandowski pulling no punches. Talking about his departure from Bayern Munich. Here to talk about it in further detail, Shaka Hislop and it's Stevie Nicol. We also welcome to the programme Luis Garcia and Jan Arge Fjortov, who's got a lot to say on this. But before we hear from the guys, let's see more from that interview. Christina Alexander sitting down with Robert Lewandowski to talk about really the genesis of that move away from Bayern.
Reports in Germany suggested that maybe you were a little bit uncomfortable with the fact that they were looking to sign Erling Haaland. Did that have to do anything with you leaving? Did that influence your decision?
No, that was nothing to do with Erling. I'm the guy who, even if something not good for me, but true, it's more important. And I don't want speaking about what's happening exactly, but if the question is that the decision to move on, to move out is because of him, no, that wasn't. I didn't see the problem if he joined to Bayern Munich, but you know, some kind of people doesn't say to me the truth, and he doesn't something different. And for me, it was always important to be clear, to say true, and for many of a few people, that was the problem. And in the end, I knew it, that something doesn't work well with my person as well. And I knew it, that, okay, I see and I feel that maybe it's the good time to move someone, to move out from Bayern Munich, to move to Barcelona. And, you know, I had a very good relationship with my teammates, with the staff, with the coach, and this all things, of course, I'm going to miss, because I spent a beautiful time there, and we were not only like the friends from the pitch, but also something more. And but in the end, this chapter is over, and now I opened a new chapter in my life and a new chapter in my career. So I feel that I'm in right position, right place. So everything what's happening the last maybe few weeks before I left the Bayern Munich, that was also, of course, a lot of politics, and the club tried to find the argument why they can sell me to the another club, because before it was difficult to explain maybe the fans. And I had to accept this, even that was a lot of things about me, not true, but you know, in the end, I know that the fans, because during this period, the fans still support me a lot, and that was for me very amazing, and I will be always thankful. I never forget this, because so many, I think most of the fans understood and understand this period and this kind of situation, and that's mean a lot for me, and I never forgot the fans in Munich, and this time what I spent in Bayern 8 years, because that was something amazing. And always, everything what I did because always I was ready, I was ready to play, even that I was injured, even I had painful, because I wanted to show my fans, also the fans of Bayern Munich, that I'm here to give them happiness of the winning, and I always give them 100% of my heart. And maybe that for some people in Bayern was difficult to sell me, and they know it that what kind of person I am, even that in the press was some kind of different things about me, not exactly true.
Jan, I want to start with you, because what is so sensational about this interview and what is so striking is the fact that we've seen players all the time. It's a new chapter. I want to look forward. I don't want to talk about what's happened in the past. Christina set him up, and it was clearly something he wanted to get off his chest.
Absolutely. And we have talked about this on the show for a long time. And as Robert Lewandowski, that you know I rate very highly, and this is a new chapter in his life, going to Barcelona. But I think that in this book called Robert Lewandowski Being a Great Success at Bayern, we have to go back in the book a bit to a couple of chapters back. This is the guy who scored 41 goals, beating Gerd Müller's record. This is the guy who went to Bayern Munich and said he wants to extend his contract. This is a guy who saw maybe this time to end his career at Bayern Munich, but at the same time, Bayern Munich didn't even answer him. They didn't even answer his agent. And at the same time, they're starting flirting with a younger player, which is in every book some part of the plot. So I guess we can all talk about chapters, and Robert Lewandowski can say now that this doesn't annoy him. But as you rightly say, Dan, I mean, there is a way of you don't care so much, you care a lot. I mean, I made that expression on myself now, I guess, but you understand what I'm saying. It looks like Robert Lewandowski want to get this off his chest, as you said. And of course, we knew about this. We talked about this week in and week out, that imagine being this guy, being the superstar at Bayern Munich. At the same time, I think that it's right of him to say what he's saying, because a Robert Lewandowski should never say that, yes, because of a 21-year-old guy from Norway, I wanted to move. This, he was rightly maybe the biggest star of the German Bundesliga. He has rightly now joined one of the biggest clubs in Europe, coming from one of the biggest as well in Bayern. So he will see forward, but still he had some dig at the back, and you were beeping for fun there. It was like a cartoon, I guess.
You kind of feel good for him.
Yeah. Listen, I really believe that this was a situation where no one was really in the wrong. You understand Bayern Munich and their interest in Erling Haaland, but if you're Robert Lewandowski, and let's look at it from his perspective purely here, you have to be upset with the way it kind of came together, and your own feeling that that your contributions to the club have all of a sudden meant very little at that point. So you understand why he feels as strongly as he does. And I think he's absolutely right to feel that way. And now he's moved on. Given his relationship with the club and those fans, given everything that he's won, given the records that he's broken, to see that separation between himself and Bayern Munich be as acrimonious as it was in the last few weeks, you understand now why he also wants to lash out at the club, but also have his side be told firsthand to the Bayern fans. So, I don't give him wrong either.
It's kind of amazing to me that the hierarchy at Bayern Munich are so arrogant. And it's not like this is something new. They've been like this for years. That they almost give this outlook as it's about them. They're more important than the team or anybody else. And to have a guy who's scoring 40 goals a season, breaks Gerd Müller's record, a guy that you played with as well, and to completely ignore him whilst you're trying to bring somebody else in, it just smacks of real arrogance and thinking that, you know what, these guys should just be pleased that they're here.
Right.
They should be... Robert Lewandowski should be pleased that we're looking after him. Robert Lewandowski should be pleased that he's a Bayern player. So we get away. I mean, it's just incredible that the most important player you have, you treat with such disdain. It's amazing.
Is that fair, Jan?
Well, it's fair to say, but as Steve is saying, this is also part, I mean, you can call it arrogance. I won't call it arrogance. This is just the way the Bayern culture has always been built. There is a history of that, that they have lost player in this way. Yes, you can call it arrogance. But at the end, Dan, now, I think that was time for Robert Lewandowski to make this interview. He just felt that he wanted to say that. But Bayern also, that is also the strength of Bayern. They have moved on. They have Sadio Mane, they have De Ligt, they got Mathis Tell. So they have had a quite good transfer window. And I also think that Robert Lewandowski, he's a football superstar, but he's also a human being. And as Stevie is rightly so, you just feel you get treated this way. You got to get that off. But I don't think, quite honestly, Bayern care. Because they moved on, and I think in a hard way, Stevie, I don't think if you agree, but you know that for Liverpool, the king is dead. Long live the king.
Luis, what's interesting is that he's kind of played this really well. If you look at both fan bases, in the sense like he's saying, like, I never wanted to leave Bayern Munich, but now obviously I'm at Barcelona, and I don't feel that's a second choice for me.
No, of course, and I think he's been very professional, trying to keep it quiet. He never say anything to get or Bayern Munich angry, or the board or the supporters, and either the other side that he could be the next supporter for him, Barcelona supporters. So at the end, I think he done what he has to do, has to wait for Barcelona to make the approach. I think he felt hurt at that moment because Bayern probably wasn't giving him what we thought that he deserved sometimes. And I agree. I'm not calling arrogance, but it's true that sometimes football players, when they get in board position, they forget what it is to be a footballer, and they've been there and they complain about the board when they were treated the same way. I don't understand why they don't realize or they kind of get closer to the feeling of where they felt when they were football players. Where is the feeling of Lewandowski in those moments? You arrive into an age that you are not anymore the younger, but you're still the biggest star. And I think they're going to regret in the future, because when you pull out 50 goals from your side, it's very difficult to bring so many players who can add those kind of 50 goals. So I think he's done a great job. I think he, at the right moment, just open up and say, listen, I'm hurt. That's the way that I feel now. I'm going to move on. Bayern's going to move on. But I have to say, because I have to feel well with myself and with the supporters of Bayern Munich, that they need to know from my side what just happened.
And what do the supporters make of all of this, Jan, of Bayern?
I think they do move on. I think that Robert Lewandowski could say that the fans who talked to him, they supported him. Why shouldn't they? He'd been a fantastic servant to them, winning everything, scoring goals for fun. But you know, fans are like, they also move on, and they now have new heroes. I mean, that is the brutal part of our sport. Now is Sadio Mane the biggest thing that ever happened to them? De Ligt, seemed like everybody had forgotten that he didn't. He wasn't that great success at Juventus, and so on and so on. So I think that the supporters now move on, and hopefully down the road, hopefully Robert will do fantastic with Barcelona, and someday he will come back and he will be among the players that will be celebrated at Bayern. I think that, quite honestly, I think that it's good for Robert Lewandowski that they got Sadio Mane. Now they have a replacement somehow, another star in for him, and now he can move on with his career.
Well, the new chapter of Bayern, of course, starts tomorrow in the German Super Cup, a match which is live on ESPN Plus as they take on Leipzig. Be sure to join us at 2:30 Eastern.
Passion, drive and patience. The formula for winning championships is also what keeps your ride or die alive. eBay Motors has everything you need to maintain your vehicle and level it up to peak performance. Superchargers, roof racks, exhaust kits, LED headlights and more. Whether you're into speed, power or style, eBay Motors has you covered. With over 122 million parts for your number one ride or die, you'll always find exactly what you're looking for. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, your part is guaranteed to fit your ride every time or your money back. Because with eBay Motors, you're burning rubber, not cash. With all the parts you need at the prices you want, it's easy to make your car the MVP and bring home huge wins. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
We're driven by the search for better, but when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't a search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors, according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/FC. Just go to Indeed.com/FC right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on the podcast. Indeed.com/FC, terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed. It is quite the resume when you take a look at what Robert Lewandowski achieved with Bayern Munich during his 8 years at the club. And of course, he spent quite a few years playing under Pep Guardiola. Going back to the interview, Christina spoke to him about how that experience could help him going forward.
You know, obviously, what the team is, the philosophy that is Football Club Barcelona, something that you're not a stranger to either with Pep Guardiola, of course, and that experience at Bayern Munich. How is that experience going to help you now with Xavi and, of course, at Barcelona?
For sure, a lot. Because the first 2 years, we had 8 Spanish players in Bayern Munich, and most of the staff also was from Spain. So that time already, I understood what does it mean for the, not only for the players from Spain, but also for the staff from Spain, how they want to work, how they want to play, which kind of tactic as well. And you know, with the Pep Guardiola, this kind of tactic as a coach is incredible. It's like this, his vision is amazing. Every day coming something new, and I know that for me it will be easier to adapt for the new club, new country. And even for my age and experience, of course, the language, I try to speak with my team in Spanish, but I know that I need maybe a few more weeks to understand more. But even that, you know, the football language is not so difficult. And with my performance and skill, I know that I can do this directly. Of course, maybe the first 2 weeks will be the most difficult for me, but after this, after preparation and to be ready to the season, I know that will be for me the start to show and to show everyone my best performance.
What combinations do you imagine in your mind, you playing up front? Who's on your right, who's on your left?
Oh, it's so tough to say you exactly, because we have, I don't know, 5, 6 offensive players, and all of them are different. All of them playing different kind of football. And I know that on my way, even in Bayern Munich, I met so many different winger players, the players who dribbling a lot, who did a lot of cross, for example. So I'm so flexible player that I'm ready to playing this kind of players or this kind of system or tactic as well, because I can adapt to every system, every tactic. And I know that for me, maybe I need a little bit time, but after then, when I adapt it, that will be easy way to do my job.
Ousmane Dembélé decided to stay, had a great 3-month run, finishing last season, has had a great preseason. What do you expect from him and you both on the field?
Yeah, he's an amazing player. His quality is very high. I hope that he's staying fit, healthy during the all season, because this is the most important for the team, for the players. And if he will be the concentrated, like focused on the game like now, that he can deliver a lot of goals, a lot of assists for sure. I'm pretty sure that with this form, he can be one of the best in the world. Already on the training, I saw how great he is, and I hope so that in this season, because this part of the year or of this season is the most important, he will be in the right moment, on the right position.
This is a team that has changed dramatically even in the last year. How does that bring you into the picture leadership-wise? Speaking of challenges, does this give you an opportunity to be the new leader in the team?
Of course, this is for me also the big opportunity to be the person who can lead on the pitch with the body language to show guys it doesn't matter how many goals we already scored, we can score even more, to be also to think always positive, to thinking always to playing forward, to try to do something more, to push and work even harder than before. And I know that I see already in Barcelona you have already the players who are thinking also to do something new, to do even more. And I know that sometimes not exactly the words what you say are important. More important is what you're going to do, how you show your body language, what you're going to do, what you expect for yourself as well. And that's why I'm ready to be here to show my performance, but also I know that my teammates are ready to follow, not only follow me, but follow the way, in this way, what you're going to, when we're going to be in the end of the season.
How do you take that title from Real Madrid then in La Liga?
Oh, no, we try to do our best, for sure. We didn't start the season yet, but maybe after 1-2 months, because this round, yeah, before World Cup are very short. It's only like 2.5 months, the games, because you have also national team between, and then World Cup. And maybe after this time we can talk about more expectation of the end of the season. But for sure, that Real Madrid still, they're gonna be very strong. They're gonna playing very well for 100%. That is for us very even huge challenge. But we have to be ready and we have to be there if you want a competition with the Real Madrid.
Stevie, from a coach's perspective and from what we've just heard, this is an absolute dream, isn't it? Oh. To have someone with that sort of experience, that sort of character, and obviously that quality as well, to come into this locker room.
You can't dream. You dream of it.
Right.
You basically... You don't have anything to do.
Yeah.
You know, what are you going to tell this guy? You know, all you got to do is make sure you can do everything to keep him happy, whether it's off the field or whatever it is. Because on the field, he takes care of himself. He's his own coach.
Yeah.
He knows when he's doing things right. He knows when he's doing things wrong. He knows what suits him. I mean, it's an absolute dream for any coach to have a guy who will first and foremost always look in the mirror first. I mean, that, and to have the quality that he has, I mean, oh dear. We can just sit down.
Yeah.
Just sit and watch the game.
And there you go. Xavi, of course, has that experience, not as much as a coach, but as a player, to know that's the way to treat him, Luis.
Yeah, exactly. And I think that is part of why Lewandowski is also signing for Barcelona. We've been heard from not only him, but also Jules Koundé, the last one to arrive to the club. That is a big part why the players want to arrive to this Barcelona. That he was in a very tough situation last year. It looks like they want to rebuild. It's in a transition moment, a transition period. But they all want to be part of this, what the Xavi is generating. He knows how to... I know him since we were 16 back then in Barcelona Academy. And I spent 4 years with him. I found him 15 years after of becoming what he is, Xavi, the player, the midfielder of Barcelona, captain of Barcelona, of the national team. And he continues being the same person, the same guy who is humble, who comes to you and is open to ask you anything, to help you in anything that you need, and with a clear idea. He had a fantastic career, and having top of the top of the best managers that you can find in the world, with Pep Guardiola, with Luis Enrique, with Luis Aragonés. All the managers he had, they kind of gave him something to keep adding more things to what he thinks that is football, the philosophy and the way that this Barcelona style is. But at the end, that man managing that he's got is just fantastic. He knows exactly what he has to say, when to be funny, when to press, when to push you a little bit more. And I think that's why everybody is feeling that this Barcelona can become, once again, one of the toppest teams in the world.
Jan, how does this not work?
Well, I can't see how we won't be working. I mean, there were times in Barcelona last season weren't that brilliant, and times they were fantastic. But But as has been said here, I mean, we can do a lot of jokes about how you can buy players without money. But we also have to praise Barcelona to get a striker like Robert Lewandowski, who fits perfect in the way they try to develop the club now. He is a guy that is adjustable. He can play as a false number nine. He can play as a number nine. He's one of the most intelligent number nines I ever seen on the pitch, how he adjusts. And in this great interview, he's also saying that, how do you define a leader? A define a leader is by having the great attitude on and off the pitch. And Barcelona got themselves not only a great goal scorer, they also got themselves a great role model for all the young players at the club. They can see what you do to become the best number nine in the world. So big, big praise to Barcelona to get this player.
It's incredible what difference 12 months makes, Lewis. You think when we were at the Camp Nou last year for that opening Barcelona game of the season, it was almost like a funeral. Lionel Messi had just left. Everyone was so down and depressed and negative looking ahead to the start of the season. That has now obviously completely been flipped on its head. And it's got to be great for La Liga. You can have Real Madrid, Champions League winners, of course, looking to defend their title. They've strengthened. This is a completely new Barcelona with Lewandowski, the star of the show. It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah, definitely. It looks very exciting once again, even though the last year Real Madrid kind of won La Liga quite easily with almost a month and a half. Sevilla couldn't manage to get closer to them, even though they did start very well. Barcelona exactly the same way, with ups and downs during the whole season. But this season, it looks so exciting. I mean, this Barcelona side, even though the people was a little bit concerned, and the main concern must be, how are you going to put all those pieces together? But it's not going to be easy. I mean, Ansu Fati, Ferran Torres, Aubameyang, you got Rafinha, Lewandowski. You have so many good players that only three can play. I mean, there is only three players. You cannot play with six strikers. It's not going to be a chance for it. Or maybe one game, but not every single weekend. And you can see that with Pedri, Busquets, and Nico. We haven't even talked about the new players who have arrived. Kessié, that is a fantastic player for the middle, or Christiansen, or Jules Koundé at the back. I think that this is a proper team. But not a proper team, it's a proper squad, because it's ready to play every single competition. You can see here a good 11 who can face any team in Europe, but you can almost figure it out, another 11 with exactly the same quality, or just likely the same quality like this one. And that's how you build a strong team. That's how you build a successful team. So I think that is going to be very fun to watch them play. And I saw them just a few minutes, intensity, quality, a little bit of a few, like we all know, mistakes at the back. But, well, I think it's about trying to put all those pieces together.
Even if you're not a Barcelona fan or a fan of La Liga, Shaq, it's kind of must-watch to kind of see how this is all going to come together.
Absolutely. Listen, you are talking about two of the biggest clubs in world football, in Real Madrid and Barcelona. You've spoken about Real Madrid last season and how successful they were. And that winning the league without a real challenge, or the greatest challenge came in the end, or most sustained from Sevilla, and that just faded. And now you have a Barcelona team that you feel is put together to challenge Real Madrid. And now the big caveat to this is whether Barca can go ahead and get all these players registered, etc., etc. Let's just assume that somehow they manage to. But this is a team that can genuinely worry Real Madrid for all of this season. We'll see what shapes up in terms of their own European action. But it's that rivalry again rekindled, again very little between the two, that we've enjoyed for so long.
Well, it all kicks off in 2 weeks' time. And just a reminder, every single game will be live on ESPN Plus. Of Barca, their opener is at home against Rayo Vallecano. And then Real Madrid, 24 hours later, start the defence of their title away against Almeria.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They are the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at electricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's lectricebikes.com.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the upcoming draft, the playoff intensity, and finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
It's the Community Shield on Saturday as Liverpool take on Manchester City. City favourites going into the tie, of course. Some new faces at City, but it won't affect their style of play. That's according to Pep Guardiola. This is what he had to say. We are not going to change the way we play. We want Erling, Julian and Calvin, and of course Stefan. We want the best of them, the best version of them, adapting what you want to play. Hey, Jan and Lewis is still... Jan, you're going to this game, aren't you? You're in Leicester at the moment. Is that the is that a hotel room door that we can see behind you?
I'm on hotel tour again. You will see me on some hotel doors. And now I'm in London going to Leicester.
Oh, fantastic. What in particular are you looking forward to from this game, Jan?
I think it's the duels, the everything that happened. If that's Haaland compared with Nunez, or is Haaland against Van Dijk, Pep against Klopp, it's very interesting to see how Pep will get the new players into his developing kind of style. And I look forward to that. And I also look forward to see how far they've come when we follow the teams now in the preseason in England. And you just feel that they have played some games and then some second teams out there. So it's interesting to see how entertaining the game will be. And a club said today, Community Shield is the one, if you win it, it's important. If you don't, you don't care. So it's going to be interesting to see the approach to the game. But I look forward to see the new boys in town in this game on both teams.
No, you're interested in one new boy in particular.
Yeah, Julian Alvarez. Exactly.
Luis, with Haaland coming in, obviously Pep came out and said, well, look, we're not going to change the style, but surely you have to, don't you, to have that sort of number nine now in the starting 11?
Yeah, it's totally true. And it's a big discussion because, of course, you got another 10 players that you have to move around him and you cannot play. And I think that the Pep Guardiola, he's been showing for many years that the way that he plays, the way that he sees the football, he doesn't want to change that philosophy. He doesn't want to change that approach to any kind of game. He maybe move a player inside or outside, but never change the way of playing because of a player. So I think that is more than Erling Haaland has to adapt to what it is to play as a number nine for Manchester City. The probably is very difficult, very different of playing a number nine for Liverpool or for Barcelona or for Dortmund or Bayern. But he needs to adapt. And I'm not sure if he's going to adapt quick or not. I know that he's a fantastic player. He's going to score many goals. He's going to give so much. But it's a position where we've seen for many, many years that the number nines are not the top scorers most of the times in this team. We've seen Sergio Aguero scoring every single year 20 something, but not a player of this side has scored more than 30 goals for Manchester City. So it's a team with a lot of players around who can get involved on the ball, that the possession is the main thing. And of course, arriving to the last there, there are so many players who want the ball, who want to score. So I think Haaland needs to adapt to this kind of new situation for him, and Pep needs to work on that with him. And, well, I know that it's going to work, but let's see how long it's going to take him to adapt to this kind of new position in this situation.
Can we just go back to the full screen of Luis? This has worked out incredibly well. Look at the coincidence here. If we go back to Luis on the full screen, you can see...
What are you going to say?
No, it's good. Look, Guardiola's got a football brain. See, little things like that, entertainment, you see?
Is it right here, right? You got the right here. In my shot.
Like here it is, look. What? Oh, Stephen, you wanted to say something serious.
Well, I actually did, but...
The moment's lost.
It's kind of boss me, isn't it?
Sorry, go ahead, Stephen.
No, I was just going to say, I think in a lot of ways... The other players around them are going to have to change a little bit more than Haaland, because you don't want him changing that much of what he does.
Right.
But clearly, when you have a guy like him, who's the spearhead of your attack, you're going to have to look in the box a bit quicker than you would normally do when you don't have a normal centre-forward. So I would suggest that it's the other attacking players around that are going to have to adapt to
it. Is that easy to do?
Well, I think when we're talking about the players we're talking about, yes.
Right.
Because when you've got players like De Bruyne and Mahrez and even Grealish, they see things better than other players. They see things earlier and they can see passes. And so Pep's probably going to say, look, have a look in the penalty box earlier than you normally would.
Right.
When we're playing with the so-called false nine.
From a defensive perspective, then, how does it change if you were coming up against City?
I think it's so much harder because for a defender playing against a team that doesn't have a centre-forward, you're basically looking for players coming in the box late.
Okay.
Because there's nobody in there. That is way easier than having to, A, defend somebody, but also have to look for players coming in as well.
Right.
So you're basically going from doing one thing to two things. And sometimes you'll find yourself in the middle and doing either when the ball's in the back of the net.
Go on, Jan.
Now, I'm just saying that it's interesting because there's a lot of talking about Pep and he will keep his style of play and Haaland. Of course, he has to adjust as you do as a new player. But it's quite interesting when you see the starting with last year with Grealish coming in, not a typical Pep player. Now he takes Haaland, not a typical Pep player. But I think that that first goal that he scored after 11 minutes is more like goals that we will see because the movements of Erling Haaland in the 18-yard box, in the 16-metre, is world-class. And I think when you see the Manchester City team, when they play, they have possession and all that kind of thing, there are so many players who can set up those small, neaty balls as small crosses that we saw with Grealish, but longer crosses as De Bruyne used to do or Cancelo, what they all call. So I don't think that the way they play will be very, very differently. I just think that just to give them another tool to break down teams. And if we compare the two teams with Liverpool and Manchester City, it's like Liverpool, they get Nunez in to replace Mane, but Erling Haaland, he just goes in and strengthens Manchester City because they haven't had that kind of player before.
Liverpool against Manchester City in the Community Shield. There it is. Look.
Wait a minute. How pleased is he with his shield?
I am. It's almost perfect.
How pleased are you?
Oh, little things. These little minds. So, City obviously in action in the Community Shield. Manchester United, meanwhile, have two friendlies in a 24-hour span. One on Saturday, one on Sunday. Cristiano Ronaldo for Sunday the King plays. Jack, if you're his teammate, and he hasn't turned up for pre-season, and then he tweets something like this. Do you mind?
I don't know what to make of it. I really don't. I mean, playing with a personality such as Ronaldo's surely comes with its own set of challenges, right? Like, we accept that. For me, I can't imagine anybody else in today's game or at any other point during my playing career who would say something like that.
Right.
So I really do not know how to deal. I mean, who says that?
I don't.
It's bizarre. Maybe the players have gotten used to it. Maybe he says that in the dressing room, but I find it baffling. That's all I can come up with.
Luis, you must have played with some big egos in your time. Can you
not
just
this big?
Can you just put it away? Can you kind of decompartmentalize it and say, "Oh, it's only Ronaldo. Just let him get on with it."
Yeah, I think that's the way. I mean, like you guys are mentioning, when you are inside the dressing room, you know everybody. You know who you got next to you, who is in front, what they do, how they behave, who will give you good morning, who doesn't even look at you when they get into the dressing room. And you understand that. So if you then you got those small groups where you are having dinner or you are having a coffee and then you talk, look at this one, and you mention it, but you understand because you know him. For us, that we are not inside the dressing room and we don't know how he behaves with the rest of the teammates, it's a little bit shocking. But on these days, that social media is a way of sending messages to everybody, not only supporters, but also the board, the teammates, or everybody. So we need to understand that is a way of expressing himself. So I had teammates who were wearing such weird and bizarre clothing, and that was the way of expressing themselves. And you look at him and say, why are you doing this? but it's his way. And you see it every day, so you get it kind of normal. So I think that we need to understand that Cristiano wanted to send a message and he expressed it this way. That's it.
Why are you smiling, Yeah,
I'm smiling because when I saw that report, you know, Manchester United are playing Oslo, Norway tomorrow against Atletico Madrid. So I thought that was Cristiano Ronaldo was writing Saturday, the king plays, but our king is 85. So I thought he can't play. So,
Stevie, Kenny Dalglish tweeting out something like that? Yeah, how would that be received?
No, not my cup of tea. It's funny that, because I don't think you would see anything like that coming out of the Man City dressing room or players from Man City.
Right.
Yeah, good point.
So it kind of shows you the difference. The difference of what's going on at different clubs.
Yeah.
Because, no doubt, Man City players, if any of their... I get the impression, if anybody in their dressing room did that...
Yeah.
But the point is, TV, what other dressing room is that coming out of? There is no other dressing room. There is no other player who's saying that. It's so bizarre.
There we go. Manchester United, of course, very much off the pace when it comes to being title challengers. But where does Luis Garcia have them finishing in the league this season? Let's take a look. Oh, he's gone for Liverpool. Liverpool. Of course he has. Of course he has. Oh, my goodness.
Surprise.
Luis, why?
the top scorer and player of the year as well.
Yeah, Mohamed Salah, Virgil van Dijk, Klopp is coaching. Hitman of the year is Liverpool.
But that is a great photo, Luis. That is a great
guys,
photo.
But listen.
Humanitarian of the year.
Explain yourself, Luis.
Listen, last year Liverpool missed the Premier League for 1 point. Can happen this year? Can they win? Yes. After we have to wait to see how it goes, but Manchester City and Liverpool are going to be right there. I think that Chelsea is going to be like this. Man United, even though they are struggling, I think that Ten Hag is doing a great job, and it's going to be a battle between them and Tottenham, maybe Arsenal if they kind of manage well the things, Arteta. But I think all those teams are going to be ahead one spot or below one spot. I think this is going to be very close likely. Then we'll see because football always gives a surprise. But in the top scorer, guys, listen, Mo Salah has been there for almost 3-4 years. And he's going to be right there again. It could be Haaland, yes. It could be Darwin Nunez, yes. It could be Harry Kane, yes. But Mo Salah is going to be there. I'm ambassador of the team. I have to say Mo Salah. You have to understand that.
Two minutes it got to get to the real crux of it.
Ambassador of the
it's
year.
It's all about the
ambassador
baby.
Of the year.
He's honest.
And why have you got United? So you think the Ten Hag effect will be that big, Luis, considering what we saw, what little we saw from them last season, considering what Spurs and Arsenal have done in the transfer window?
Yeah, I think so. I don't know why. I like him. I like the way that he managed Ajax. I know that it's going to take a little while to do it. But I saw them a couple of games during the preseason. And even though that it was early, if they can manage rotation, because I know that it's not going to be, I think that the squad is not as big as what they need. But I think they got a very good 13, 14 team players. And he can do a good job during the whole season. We'll see what happens. But I think that I want to see them fighting once again. I think that Liverpool without that rivalry is not good. They scored 9 goals last season, 5-0 and 4-0, I think, if I recall well, against. And we want that rivalry big. I want to see Liverpool facing against a good Man United. So I think that they could do well, even though that Tottenham is going to be there fighting for fourth position.
Imagine Stuart Robson if he was on the show shouting at Luis for his Liverpool bias. He'd be off, Stevie. Dear me. Just a reminder then, Liverpool against Manchester City is tomorrow in the Community Shield coverage. We play Where's Wally in the crowd, see if we can spot Jan. 11:30 Eastern on ESPN+.
Tired of ads interrupting your favorite sports podcasts? Good news! Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music, included with your Prime membership. Amazon Music offers the most ad-free top podcasts. Enjoy shows like First Take, Pardon the Interruption, and The Low Post, available ad-free and uninterrupted. To start listening, download the Amazon Music app or go to amazon.com/ESPNpods. That's amazon.com/ESPNpods to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
That's it. That brings us to the end of today's show. We will be back tomorrow. Be sure to stay tuned, though, for Extra Time, where Shaka will explain why he may never return to ESPN FC. Welcome in then to the latest edition of Extra Time. Thank you very much for your tweets. Luis is with us, as is Stephen. Shaka, this is going to be your last show. Is that right?
Whatever.
Because you're winning the lottery.
That's right.
You're winning the $1 billion jackpot.
Yes. And I don't intend to share it with anybody.
Would you still come to work tomorrow for the Community Shield if you want it tomorrow?
Absolutely.
Yes. Professional.
$1 billion won't change me, Dan.
No, definitely not.
You're not buying another Maserati, are you?
I may.
Okay, first question. Have you ever played a game hungover? What was the experience like? I wonder who I'm drawn to for this.
Well, I've got to tell you, very few times.
Right.
The one I do remember was at the end of season trip, Liverpool went to Israel.
Okay.
To play, part of the trip was you had to play a game. And we got there on the Friday, we were to play the game on Saturday, and then we were to have a couple of days before going home.
Right.
And so in our wisdom, we decided that it wouldn't be that bad if we just went for a couple.
Because you're good at that, just going for a couple, as a group.
So we all went out for a couple, we went to the square.
Right.
And we ended up playing a game called Buzz.
For those who aren't aware of Buzz, what are the basic
rules? Well, Buzz,
rules?
It depends. It's usually multiples of 6, 7 or 8.
Right.
And it goes round. So
you count and you've got to say buzz, and if you don't say count. Buzz, you have to drink.
Right. And if you say it the wrong time, you've got to drink what's put in the middle.
Right.
So, of course, it went pear-shaped and I ended up drunk.
Yes.
And in fact, somebody ended up hitting Alan Kennedy. This was like 82 or 83.
Of course.
Somebody ended up hitting Alan Kennedy. And then one of the directors came back and told us all to get back to the hotel at like 1 in the morning. Anyway, next morning we had a meeting. Joe Fagan called a meeting. And everybody's in the room, he said, right, who's there? And of course, everybody that was there put their hand up. So there was like, the sensible ones weren't there.
Okay.
You know, your Sunnis,
yeah.
And your Dougleys, they weren't there. But all us idiots.
Steve Nicol was there.
Yeah. And Georgie said, right, every one of you's playing. Because it was the day of the game.
Oh, yes.
And I always remember David Hodgson in the toilet.
Right.
Before the game,
yep.
Hanging over the sink, just throwing up.
Lovely.
And he's turned to Joe Fagan and went, boss, I don't know whether. Joe Fagan went, let me tell you, if I've got to drag you on there myself, you're playing.
Wow.
Well, I'll tell you what, it's hard going.
For a goalkeeper, it's easier, isn't it, just standing around?
Well, it depends on where that game is, Dan. The only time I can recall playing a game slightly hungover after a few drinks was in Tobago.
Right.
During the day. It's roasting hot.
Wow.
Pitch is rock hard. Friend of mine was getting married. So I was at that and then flew to Tobago to meet up with the national team to play a friendly against a local team. And that was hard work.
Really?
That was, awesome. Middle of the day in Tobago, wedding the night before, jump on a flight the next morning. That was some turnaround, let's just say.
Luis?
No, it never happened to me. I'm so sorry.
No, don't apologise.
Disappoint you. I don't have that kind of story. No, never arrived to a game feeling
tipsy. How dare you not ever play
By the way, I kept a clean sheet, just remembered.
Well, from the sound of it, it's a local team chat you're playing.
Yeah, but I was very proud of my clean sheet that day, Dan.
For all, part of Plymouth Argyle's pre-season training included a session led by the Royal Navy. Players running in the waves, hoisting stretchers and so on. What was the most unique pre-season training situation you found yourself in, and was it effective? Why are you laughing?
Just have you thought of it?
Yeah.
Really? I didn't have to do anything like that. I don't know why you're looking at me all weird.
No, I know you're chuckling away. Luis, pre-season...
I had a few tough ones when I landed in Mexico. First pre-season was okay with Puebla, but when I arrived to Pumas Unam, hopefully they don't do that to Dani Alves, just arrived there. I did it during 2 weeks, 3 sessions a day. And it was on Mondays, run for an hour on the beach. Then you have the training midday, that it was weights. and then the training in the afternoon. And the second day, it was snowing the beach, but you have to go to the golf course. And then it was an hour at the golf course, and then weights, wow, and then training. Like that for 2 weeks. And actually, it was one of the toughest that I ever had, and didn't work out with me because I was already 34, 35. So my body couldn't follow those guys that they were all young. And just before the first week, before the first game, in the first reunion, and this is quite funny, we have a meeting on the pitch. We were going to train like 11 versus 11 against the young guys because we had the first game at the weekend on Saturday. And while the manager was talking, a ball came from somewhere. So I tried to control it with my chest and lying down nicely with my foot. When I did that, I pulled my calf. Don't tell me how it happens. I was just standing still. I tried to do that and I pulled my calf. I have to wait for 3 weeks to make my debut for Pumas. It was a poor beginning, but that's the way it is. I wasn't ready for those kind of procedures anymore.
Ouch, ouch. Steamy?
I actually did one at Notch County.
Okay.
Manager took us down to Kent, down where the White Cliffs of Dover are, to an army place. And I thought, what is going on here? Why are we doing this nonsense? What has this got to do with football?
Right.
But in the end, it actually was good for building morale.
Oh, yeah?
Because we stayed in the barracks.
Wow.
It was like 10 of us in a barrack. We got woken up at like 6:30 in the morning with a bugler.
Right.
So we had to swim. The first thing we did was go swimming. So they dropped the concrete blocks into the bottom of the pool. And you had to dive down and bring it out.
Right.
Stuff like that. And then we'd have breakfast and then go for a run down the cliffs. So you'd have teams of like 7 or 8 and you had this huge, big, long log.
And you're okay with it?
I actually enjoyed it.
Wow, Stevie.
And then in the afternoon, we would do the assault course.
Right, okay.
I actually really enjoyed it.
Wow.
Yeah, the only thing I didn't like was living in a barrack. It was like...
Yeah, I can't imagine.
It was kind of like being a schoolboy again. The actual stuff was smelly. I liked it. It was good.
For Luis Garcia, it's the 91st minute on the final day of La Liga. You win a free kick just outside the area, and that almost certainly will guarantee you the win if you score it. Which past or present La Liga player would you get to take it?
Easy, Messi or Ronaldinho, one of those. I'll be happy for them to take any spot around the outside of the box. They were the best one for me.
Barcelona bias, obviously, from Luis Garcia. No Beckham, no Roberto Carlos.
I could go for Beckham. Yeah, I think so. I could go for Beckham, even as Unzal back when he was playing for Betis, it was quite impressive. But I will go for those two. I mean, Messi is outstanding from free kicks, and Ronaldinho had the chance of training with him, and he was just incredible. So, yeah, one of those two. Of course, Beckham, he was one of my favourites as well when he was playing for Real Madrid.
Roberto Carlos, of course, scored that famous goal against France,
yes,
didn't he, at Wembley. And when I was at Madrid, he would take every free kick. I don't think I saw him score one. Terrible. All of them. Just
you're
all over
jinx.
Them.
You're a jinx, Dan. That's
what I heard. Oh, yeah, I jinxed Roberto Carlos. Well. He was awful. For all, who is one incredible footballer from their time playing and in their respective positions who is barely talked about and who the current generation of fans might not be aware of? Who's underrated, Shaq?
Matt Letizia, I've always said.
You always talk about him. I don't think he's underrated.
Yeah, but I'm the only one who talks about him.
No, a lot of people talk about Matt Letizia.
I don't think fans today would have a clue who Matt Letizia is.
Right.
Not a clue. That's all I've got.
Oh, okay. Steamy?
I'm going to go for an old Liverpool teammate of mine.
Okay.
Gary Gillespie.
Right.
You know, he was unfortunate because he followed one of the best partnerships Liverpool ever had in Hansen and Lawrenson. And for some reason, he's never spoken about, but, I mean, you talk about passing the ball out from the back. He was a great passer of the ball.
Right.
He was a smart defender, but he never gets a mention. I think he, above everybody that I play with at Liverpool, would be the most underrated.
I'm going to throw another name. Hold on. Park Ji-sung from Man U.
Right.
Okay, carry on. I just
very assertive, Shaq. Yes, God, you're billionaire, Wade.
Yeah. you better say as much as possible tonight.
Luis?
No, I don't have much. I got one that no one will remember. He played also in first division for a couple of years and second division, but it was probably one of those special players who you meet during your early ages in your career. It was the partnership of Xavi. It was called Mario Rosas. He was the most incredible player we ever seen. We all thought that he was going to make it to the highest level, become a world-class player, golden boot and whatever. And he didn't manage. And we had the chance of talking about him quite a few times. Xavi also mentioned him in quite a few interviews. And he just didn't make it to the top because of different situation when he was younger. But he was one of those kind of players that when you are 18, 19, you are making the next step for Barcelona. He also was training with Van Gaal during 2 years, doing pre-season and training every single day with the first team. And no one will remember this player, former player, that for us it was probably the best player we ever had next to us. And it was called Mario Rosas. And it was quite an incredible career that he didn't make it to the highest level.
Next question, Luis, one I'm sure you're asked a lot. What was it like in the dressing room during halftime of the 2005 Champions League final? Did you think the game was done at that point?
Yes, I think it was done. And I think that every single player inside the dressing room thought the same way. But at the end, you kind of try to think about something positive, try to keep hope about maybe scoring a goal, something like that. Of course, inside the dressing room, no one was thinking we are going to make it. No one was shouting, no one was screaming or trying to give those kind of inspirational speeches. But we found a very calm Rafa Benitez, who kind of work out a little bit the way that we were going to play in the second half with Steven Gerrard a little bit higher on the front and Didi Hamad in the middle to try to hold a little bit. And I think that kind of message that he sent of calm, having kind of a plan B, let's start like this and see how it goes. And then once we score the first one, we'll think how to manage. But first of all, don't concede goals and try to call that first one. We went out like this, and I think it worked. We felt comfortable. They start going back, and we scored the first one, the second one very quick, and the third one arrived right after. Just in 6 minutes, we kind of equalized that final. But the dressing room was destroyed after those 45 minutes in the beginning, and, well, it was kind of a miracle, to be honest.
The story is, Luis, isn't it, the Rafa said, listen to the fans who were still singing. Was that right?
Yeah, that's what they... It was a kind of, we couldn't hear at all the fans.
Right, so that's a good thing.
There is no chance that you can hear anything from inside the Ataturk Stadium because they are miles away. You are surrounded by concrete, so you cannot hear anything.
Fantastic.
But I think that the message was like that. Listen, they are 50,000 fans outside. We have to make them proud. They came from everywhere. So let's go outside and give 100% and please don't concede any more goals. And that was the main thing, to be honest.
Did you watch it in Switzerland? Or am I thinking of a different game?
No, I was here.
Oh, you were here?
I was here with Joe Tollison.
Right.
And Seamus Mallon.
Wow.
Yeah, and at half-time, I wanted to go home.
I bet you did.
I was like, oh, no.
We all wanted to go home.
I bet they wanted you to go home as well.
Yeah. Dear Dan, I'm looking to enrol myself at the Dan Thomas School for Smarty Pants, who are faculty members. I think Stevie is the head of culinary arts. Stevie had how many bags of chips today during the game?
Three.
Hey,
we're only wee bags.
And the Twix.
The Twix.
Shaka, a Spanish language professor.
See?
Si. Yeah, very good. Donna's dean of mathematics and statistics.
Oh, yes.
Craig is a meditation instructor. Don's been telling us about how he gets groomed when he goes to the barber. And Luis, as the man, of course, who looks better than anyone on this show, not that that's difficult, where do you stand on sticking cotton buds with wax up your nose and your ears to get the hair out?
No. I saw Dutch talking about that. I never thought that's happened. Never.
It's very random. For Luis, who had the more powerful shot, Gerard or Risa?
Probably powerful Risa. Yeah, it was pretty. It will be very close, but I think Risa was more powerful. I think that more accurate and powerful was Steven Gerrard. That's why he scored so many goals. But Risa was, very strong on that. Yeah.
Stevie, this is deep. You were part of a dynamic Liverpool team that was very dominant. When did you know that your window as a team had closed?
Oof. It's actually pretty clear. It'd be the season after Kenny left.
Right.
There was a lot of changes, not just at the club, but...
So who took over then?
Well, so Kenny left 91.
Yeah.
The middle of 91. And we were still pretty good, but we weren't as good. And we'd kind of lost something. It was after Hills where we lost the edge, basically.
Right. Yeah.
And Kenny left and Ronnie Moran took over for the rest of the season. And then Souness came in the next year. And a lot of things changed, including the rules as far as European football were concerned.
Right.
You were only allowed three foreigners. If you played in Europe, you only had three foreigners. The rest had to be home-based players. And so, I mean, the 90% of our team were foreigners. Mm. You know, I think we had three or four. A squad of 14, we had three or four English-based guys.
Right.
And so Souness had no choice, A, but to get rid of a lot of players. And obviously when you get rid of a lot of players, you've got to bring some players in. And as it turned out, the players he got rid of, the ones that he brought in, weren't as good as the ones that left. And actually, the truth of the matter is, the players that he bought were the players who, at the time, were supposed to be the top players.
Right.
You know, people like Mark Wright, for example, Dean Saunders came in, Michael Thomas came in.
Shirt was heavy for a lot of them, yeah.
Well, the shirt was heavy for a lot, but again, when you're making six and seven changes at once, it's very difficult to go from being the best team and expecting to make six or seven changes to your starting 11, not just your squad, and expect to be the same. And so when that season started, it became pretty clear that we were not the force we were.
Very interesting in Stevie's book when he talks about that in more detail, which is called, Stevie?
Five League Titles and A Bag of Crisps.
A Bag of Crisps. final question. Dr. Shaka.
What
is the best destination for Cristiano Ronaldo based on the algorithm? State United, Sporting Lisbon, Atletico Real Madrid or MLS?
I said Sporting Lisbon.
You said that yesterday.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Was it yesterday?
I don't know, it seems that every day rolls into
it. Yeah. I said it at some point, in the last 2 weeks.
Yeah.
May have been yesterday.
Maybe.
Well, Sporting Lisbon, the algorithm remains consistent.
That's it. We are done. Thank you very much. Good luck tonight, Shaka.
Thank you very much.
We will be back tomorrow for the Community
Maybe.
Shield.
No, depending on the numbers.
You said
that's right. I'll come tomorrow.
You said
I'll come
back
tomorrow.
No matter what.
Yeah, I'll be here tomorrow no matter what.
Just to remind ESPN FC with you throughout the week. Be sure to join us.
Did you know less than 10% of Americans own an e-bike? Here's why that should change. Studies show e-bike owners actually end up exercising more, plus getting outside more. If you're looking for a balanced lifestyle and everyday adventures, you need to check out Lectric e-bikes. They're the number one selling e-bike brand in America. Their bikes are typically foldable, pre-assembled, and have serious range up to 150 miles on some models. Check them out today at lectricebikes.com and add some more adventure to your week. That's LECTRIC ebikes.com.